Well, how many of you know what we're celebrating today?
Pentecost.
In the church, what are we celebrating? Ask this group here, what are we celebrating?
Pentecost.
And this group here, what are we celebrating?
Pentecost.
And what does this group say?
Pentecost.
What do we all say?
Pentecost.
All right, good, good. Now, we just want to quickly recap very briefly some of the things we said last week so that we can all be on the same page. All right, let me just find out. How many of you were not here last Sunday? Let me see your hand. Let me see how much I have to recap. Right, real up high. Where were you? I'm just kidding, just kidding, just kidding. Thank you for making it this week. All right, how many of you are not coming back next week? Let me see your hand. Okay. So for those who were not here, and even for those who were here, who maybe didn't focus throughout the whole service. There are three different baptisms, correct? All right, let's see if you can remember. All right, here we go. See who could remember. All right, I'm talking to this group, okay? Shh. What was the first baptism?
Salvation.
And how does that happen? Holy Spirit baptizes you into Jesus. Is there only one person in this group? Oh, the spokesman, point man. Got it. Okay. All right. So the first baptism is salvation, right? And that is when the Holy Spirit, in a supernatural way, takes us and our spirit man and dunks us into Jesus, into his body. And at that time, we are born again. And we become new inside, recreated inside. And it's called baptism. And we went through this whole thing last week, remember? Okay, so now we go to the second group. Tell me what the second baptism was.
Water.
We have more people in this group talking. Yay. All right. So the second one, water. Let me ask you this question. I'm talking to you, talking to this group right here, okay? If you get baptized in water, does that save you?
No.
What saves you?
Salvation.
Salvation through the blood of Jesus. Amen. Very cool. So you guys are ready for heaven. You know that? You're ready to go. Okay, so water baptism is an outward show of what happened inside. Okay? You get dunked in the water. You lie down just like Jesus was dead. And then you come up new. And what you did is you buried the old man and you come up new man. You get baptized in water. Now, the thing is this, okay? In the first baptism, it was the Holy Spirit doing the work, correct?
Yes.
Putting you inside Jesus. In the second baptism, who does it?
Believer.
Any believer, any disciple can do it. Any disciple of Jesus can do it. It's not God, it's not Jesus, not the Holy Spirit, it's us. We do it. We do it for the folks, okay? Are you guys ready for the third one? And the third baptism is what?
Holy Spirit
baptism. All right, Holy Spirit baptism. A couple of questions for you guys. All right. Who does that baptism?
Jesus.
Look, you guys were really focused last week. This is awesome. This is great. Next week, I want you all to sit in the front row, okay? So Jesus does the baptism. So Jesus gives you the Holy Spirit. So it's not the Holy Spirit giving you the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus giving you the Holy Spirit, okay? So now listen, hear me ask you a question. Can you receive the Holy Spirit before you get saved? Sign her up for Bible college, please. All right. Now we'll keep you focused. No, you can't. Okay, because remember we gave you the sequencing. Remember how it all happens? So let's go back to the sequencing. And you'll remember that we gave you a scripture in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. I'll remind you real quickly. Let's go back to Acts 1 and verse 4. It's one slide prior to that. There it is. Okay. Well, we have to go. Okay, I jumped over something. All right. So what I jumped over was the fact that Jesus' last words to his disciples was to go and wait for the Holy Spirit. So I jumped over that. So forgive me for that. This was Acts 1:4. Thank you so much, Sorry, Shane. Here we go. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father, the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. The gift that my Father promised is who? The Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus said this. He said to his disciples, I'm going to leave. Not many days, so I'm going to go. But when I go, I'm going to go to the Father, and I'm going to ask him to give you another comforter. Remember that? And that comforter is the Holy Spirit. So I want you to go and wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. And when he comes, you're going to be baptized with the person of the Holy Spirit, and then you're going to have gifts operating in your life after that. So now the big thing was the sequencing, and this was the next question. So thank you for showing me that. It was Acts 2:38, which is very close after that. Day of Pentecost was the same day as a feast was being carried on in Israel, being celebrated. And on that day, the Holy Spirit came. So the day of Pentecost is not called the day of Pentecost because the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit came on a day that was already called Pentecost. So he arrived on the day or the week of the feast called the Feast of Pentecost. Okay? And Pentecost, okay. I didn't think my preaching was that bad. We'd lose so many people so quickly. So I thought Next Gen canceled for today? Was Next Gen canceled for today or no?
No, we're worshiping God in here. We're going to enter the presence
of
God.
Do it. Penti means what? Penti. Five. Pentecost was 50 days. Pentecost was 50 days after the crucifixion of Jesus. So it was after they had put the lamb on the door. Remember when Israel was in Egypt and they wanted to get out? And God said, okay, kill the lamb, put the blood on the doors and all this kind of stuff. And then the Spirit of God, the angel of death moved in. Not the Spirit of God, the angel of death moved in. And people died. The firstborn died. Remember that? Firstborn died. Well, Jesus is God's firstborn. He died. And 50 days later, they celebrated the Feast of Pentecost. 50 days after that, when they were traveling through the desert. So God had already planned this way up front and already told us this was going to happen. So the Holy Spirit comes now in the new covenant, new agreement, on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus was crucified. Understand? Okay? So now these people that are there gathered and they see all this going on, this commotion, Peter gets up and preaches this very gripping, laid guilt on them. Jesus, you crucified him. You crucified him. God has made him the Lord. Oh, I mean, you talk about really nailing the congregation. He just went for it. And so they were really cut to the heart. And they said, okay, what can we do? What can we do to fix it? And you know, that is what I like. That's the way that I am. If there's a problem that occurs, I don't really want to know why the problem occurred. I don't want to know who caused it. I don't want to know how bad it is. You know what I want to know? How to fix it. That's all I want to know. How to fix it. Because you can't go back and change what was done. But you need to get out of where you are, and that requires fixing it. The next president needs to know how to fix it. Okay? Seriously. I don't want any arguments about who did what and finger pointing and this person and that person and Mr. Tree did that and Mr. Bush did that and somebody else did this. I'm not interested. Okay? I don't care who did what. Can you fix it?
Yes, we can.
Are you with me? Are you with me? Should I run? No, I can't. I wasn't born here. It doesn't seem to matter. But anyway. Let me stay with the sermon. All right, shh. Focus. We lost the anointing. So the question was, what do we do? How do we fix it? And this is how Peter told them to fix it in Acts 2:38. He said, repent and be baptized. This is how you fix it. Number one, any person in this room who has got a messed up life and hasn't got God in your life to be trying to run this thing by yourself, you can't get out of it on your own. This is how you fix it. Repent, be baptized in water in the name of Jesus for your sins, for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So there's your sequence. Repent, be baptized, and receive the gift. They are the three baptisms. Repent, Water baptism and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit is another baptism. So the last point I want to make from last week was this. I often have this told to me, often, because I speak to people quite a lot about receiving the Holy Spirit. Because honestly, I think, other than receiving Jesus as your Savior, which prepares you for heaven, there is nothing more important that you can receive on this earth than the person of the Holy Spirit. Because He prepares you to live on earth. When you get Jesus, you get ready to go to heaven. But you're still not ready to live here. Okay? So the greatest thing you can tell anybody who is a believer is how to receive the Holy Spirit. The greatest thing. Don't talk to them about their temper. Don't talk to them about their drinking. Don't talk to them about their smoking. Don't talk to them about their language. Talk to them about receiving the Holy Spirit. That is the solution to all things. Okay? All right. Now, people tell me this. Well, Pastor Henry, you see, that incident that occurred back in Acts, that was just for that group at that time. They needed it. And you'll notice it says there that they're all talking different languages. So that they had to go out and speak to everybody around the world in different languages because they had to communicate the gospel. Sounds like a wonderful story because it seems this is what happened on the day of Pentecost. Seems like that was what happened. And then, of course, they didn't have the whole Bible like we do today. So they had to have the supernatural gift. And they didn't have the doctors that we have today, so they had to have all the healing gifts. How many have heard what I'm talking about? Okay, people said that to you. So they've said this to me, and I'll tell you what, not one single person has ever said that to me who's filled with the Spirit and talks in tongues. Exactly. It's only those who don't. Because it is an argument that they have developed in their own mind to justify why they haven't. Okay? So now, to answer that question, the very next verse, Peter says this. In verse 39, he says this to them. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are afar off. Well, we are part of the far off group. Yes. Amen? We're 2,000 years later. That's pretty far off. I didn't say far out. I said far off. Okay? We were right in the distance, way out there in the distance. And then he said, to whom all the Lord your God will call. So this is for everybody. It's not just for a limited. I don't know if you know this. Do you know that there are more people who are filled with the Holy Spirit talking in tongues than any other group on the face of the earth? Do you know that it is the fastest growing group in Christianity among any other denomination or group on the face of the earth? Do you know that there are more people speaking in tongues right now on the face of the earth than have ever been alive combined through all generations until now? So don't talk to me about this little sect that is in the backyard somewhere that and we're so scared of talking in tongues because, you know, you're just a little bunch of people living in the shopping mall. No, we are part of the greatest group, the fastest growing, most powerful, most influential group that has ever lived on the planet Earth since it was created. Are you with me?
Yes.
Are you with me? So, don't ever feel ashamed or embarrassed because you think we're a minority. We're not. We are the majority. And we're growing faster than any other organization, group, or dialect, or anything in the face of the earth. We're growing faster than any other nation on the earth because we're in every nation. Okay. Now, I want to confirm one more scripture before I move on. We didn't touch on this last week, but remember the divine order? Number one is what?
Salvation.
Repentance. Number two is what? Water baptism. Number three is? Okay, so now watch this. We're going to fast forward 19 years to Acts chapter 19. Every chapter in the book of Acts covers about a year. So now we're going to go 19 years after, or 18 years after the day of Pentecost. It's quite a long time, right? Quite a long time. You would have thought by now that everybody would have heard about this. And so now we're going to go to the city of Ephesus and we're going to see something happen. Beginning at verse 1, Apollos was at Corinth. Paul took the road through the interior and he arrived at Ephesus, a Greek city. And he found some disciples. Now, these were disciples of Jesus. Okay? He found some disciples. And he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? One of the first questions he asks these disciples, when he finds out they're disciples, he says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now you see, unfortunately, Paul did not know that you received the Holy Spirit when you believe. It happens at the same time. Not. And yet there are whole denominations who claim that. When you get saved, you automatically at the same time receive the Holy Spirit. Yet Paul didn't know that. And he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And he wrote more about the Holy Spirit, more about the gifts of the Spirit than anybody else combined, put together. And yet he comes across these disciples and he says to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Well, if they did, why would you ask that question? That's a rhetorical question. The answer would obviously be yes. And then it's put in the Bible to waste space. Listen, we can't think of anything what we could say. We've got this chapter 19 we've got to fill up. So let's think of something we can write down there. Okay, I got it. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Yeah, that sounds cool. Let's write that down. Really? No? There's not a word in Scripture that's not meant to be there. Significant. So Paul says to these guys, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Guess what? There are two answers to that. Yes and no. How tough is this? It's a multiple choice. Yes, no. What do they say? No. They say no. In fact, in this verse it says, they answered, no. We have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. You can't receive anything from God that you don't know about. If you don't know about salvation, you will continue your life without knowing about it. Until you stumble into a church like this where salvation is preached and you go, oh my heavens, I'm not saved. I need to get saved. I thought I was a Christian. I thought I was going to heaven, but I never asked Jesus to be my Lord. I've got to get saved. Hello, some new knowledge just came to you. Now I ask you, have you ever been saved? No, I didn't know I had to be saved. Well, now you know. Do you want to be saved? You understand? Okay. Well, I never heard that I was supposed to be baptized in water, but now you do. Well, what are you going to do with this knowledge? I'm going to walk out and find a church who doesn't preach it. But it's up to you. You're free to do whatever you want to do, right? Nobody's going to force you. You will be baptized. You will stay under. Waterboarding. We will get the devils out of you. The more you struggle, the more devils you have. So Paul said to them, so then what baptism did you receive? Because remember, they said they were disciples of Jesus. They said, look, we're believers. We're following Jesus. He said, well, then what baptism did you receive? Hello. If it wasn't important to be baptized, why did he ask them what baptism you received? So when you come across somebody who says, I'm a believer, you say, what baptism did you receive? And they go, huh? Yeah, when I was a child, I got it. I got it right here. And they gave me my name. No, actually, you had your name before you got dry cleaned. Dry cleaning doesn't give you your name. It just gives you a wet forehead. Listen carefully to me. You ought to be able to ask every Christian, what baptism have you received? There's three baptisms. Where are you at in your Christian walk? Have you got number one? Have you got number two? Have you got number three? Are you listening to me this morning? Okay, so he says, well, then what baptism did you receive? And they said, well, you know, we got baptized by John's baptism, one of his disciples. Who was John? John the who? The Baptist. Huh, funny. John the baptizer. John the second. No, his second name is not Baptist. He was the baptizer. Some people think Jesus' second name is Christ. I think his name is Jesus Christ. His second name is not Christ. Don't know if you know that or not. His first name is Jesus, and his last name is Jesus, and Christ refers to the anointing that was upon him. Well, aren't you glad you came to church this morning? So, they replied, and said, John's baptism. And Paul said, well, that was a baptism of repentance. Remember, John the Baptist called, where he said, come and repent, come and repent, come and repent. So it was a baptism unto repentance. It was a baptism unto repentance. And then he told them to believe on the one that was coming. Remember, John the Baptist said, there's one coming after me. Put your faith in him. Remember that? And there was Jesus. So when they heard this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. That doesn't mean you have to have a second baptism as a Christian. It means if you haven't had the first water baptism in Jesus' name under water after receiving salvation, then you need to back up a little bit. So this is what happened here. So they backed up with it. They were baptized in the name. And then Paul laid his feet on them. What? What did he lay on them? Stinky feet. Aren't you glad he walked through the water before he did it? They had a foot washing ceremony. Now you see, when the Bible says something like that, it says he laid his hands on them, it means that you need to follow that. That's what you need to do. You need to follow that. It's a systematic way of doing this. So he laid his hands upon them. Now watch what happens. He lays his hands upon them and the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. Until that time, they were not speaking in tongues. Yes? They were not prophesying. Correct? Correct. They'd never even heard there was a Holy Spirit. So he says, well, were you baptized? And he says, well, John's baptism to repentance. He says, well, look, you know what? You need to actually receive Jesus and then get baptized in water and then you'll receive the Holy Spirit. Is that the sequence? The divine sequence found in the book of Acts, even to those who thought they were disciples, even to those who thought they were Christians. What am I saying? I'm not trying to tell you, hey, we at the Promise have got the corner on the righteous truth of God's word, but I am telling you that the scripture says that even if you call yourself a Christian and you're attending a church and you have not yet made Jesus Christ truly Lord of your life, that you got to do that. It's not church membership that saves you. It's belonging to Jesus, giving your heart to Jesus, giving your life to Jesus. And that follows immediately with water baptism. And then after water baptism, somebody can lay their hands on you and the Holy Spirit will come upon you because Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now you'll notice that when the Holy Spirit came upon them and started speaking in tongues, this is 19 years after Pentecost, they start speaking in tongues. So this was not a Pentecost experience. It was not a day of Pentecost experience. It was people who had just given their life to Jesus, got baptized in water, and now by laying hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. Listen carefully to me. They did not receive tongues. They did not receive a prayer language. They received the person of the Holy Spirit. You listen carefully to me, okay? Because I've heard this said. Well, have you received your prayer language yet? Let's pray with you so you can receive your prayer language. I don't know where you get that from. Nowhere in Scripture ever is somebody going to ask the question, have you received your prayer language? Nowhere in Scripture is anybody ever prayed for to receive a prayer language. Nowhere in Scripture is anybody ever asked, do you speak in tongues? Nowhere in Scripture is it ever asked, let me pray for you so you can speak in tongues. I want to ask you, where does that come from? Where does that doctrine come from? It comes from ignorance. It comes from people not following the divine sequence. And it actually comes from intimidation where you won't ask the people, have you received the Holy Spirit? Because that's the truth. You see, by and large, what's happening, the group of Christians called Pentecostals, of which we are proud to be part of, have been intimidated by people who are not tongue talkers, who say that we don't need tongues for today, and there's no need for tongues, and it's something you want to keep out of the church, and only a few people get it, and on and on and on, and they work it down, so that eventually they will say, well, I'm a Christian, I received the Holy Spirit, I just haven't received my prayer language. And so we who are Pentecostals have fallen into this trap where we now say to people, well, would you like to receive your prayer language? And I'm here to put it straight. There's no scripture to support that. There's only scripture to support receiving the Holy Spirit. And once you receive the Holy Spirit, tongues come with it, like the wet comes with the water. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you will receive prayer language. It comes together. Are you still out there? You're going home. So the big question is then, well, not why should I receive the Holy Spirit, it was why should I allow the Holy Spirit to manifest through me in tongues? If I have received the Holy Spirit, and I believe I've received the Holy Spirit, then I should manifest a prayer language. I should manifest the gift of speaking in tongues if I have received the Holy Spirit, because it is the initial evidence of having received the Holy Spirit. The second evidence is power, because Jesus said you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Power to do what? To witness. So if you are not witnessing with power, go back and ask God if you have received the Holy Spirit. So, will I talk in tongues? I didn't ask you if you talk in tongues. I'm asking you, is there a secondary manifestation of the fact that you received the Holy Spirit? Is there something that verifies that you received the Holy Spirit? It's got awful quiet. Let me give you 7 reasons why you should speak in tongues. Are you ready? 7 reasons. 7 reasons. Real quick. Number 1. It's a sign that every believer should have. Jesus said so in Mark 16, verse 17. These signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Everybody say this with me. Believers who believe in his name will speak in new tongues. Got it? There it is. Black and white. Well, it's in red if it's Jesus speaking. Okay? Jesus said it's going to happen. Number 2. It is the initial evidence of having the Holy Spirit indwell you. Watch this. Jesus said in Acts 2 and verse 4. Well, Jesus didn't say this is what's recorded that happened. Day of Pentecost, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began. Everybody say began. Began. Say it one more time. Began means begin. Okay? I'm from Africa, so I don't speak English very well. But I know this, that if you began something, it means you begin something. And if you begin something, it means you hadn't started yet. Is that okay with you? Do you understand? Do you get that one? Yeah. So if you began the race, that means you hadn't started the race until you began the race. I know this is really tough. So this is deep stuff. But stay with me. Stay with me. And they all began to speak with tongues. They began after they received the Holy Spirit to speak in tongues. They did not speak in tongues before they received the Holy Spirit. They began. And they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So it is the Holy Spirit rising up from within that gave them the utterance. But they cooperated with the Holy Spirit for him to speak through their mouth. He never forced them. Number 3, it is a divine, supernatural means of communicating directly with God. I'm going to give you 4 reasons why speaking in tongues and the things that happen when you speak in tongues can't be done by those who do not speak in tongues. You ready? This is the first one. It's the divine means of supernaturally communicating with God. According to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2, he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Say this, he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man. He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people. He who speaks in tongues does not speak to anybody. He speaks to God. He speaks to God. So if somebody says to me, well, why should I speak in tongues? I say, because you want to talk to God. You don't want to talk to God? You ought to talk to God. How many of you know that every time you talk to God, it's called prayer? Right? So prayer. So those who talk in tongues are doing what? Praying. Because they're talking to God. They're not talking to me. They're not talking to you. So when somebody talks to you, well, I didn't understand that. You're not supposed to, stupid. It's not for you. It's not for you. Who's it for? It's for God. Well, I don't think tongues are for today. Oh, really? Why? Well, you see, because then they had to go out and speak all these languages and speak to people. It was never for the people. It was never for the Germans. It was never for the Russians. Or the Mexican, or the Spanish, or the English. It was for God. The tongues was for God, not for people. Now, I haven't seen anywhere where God said, okay, I'm tired of the tongues. Stop. Enough, enough, enough. Driving me crazy with the tongues, the tongues, the tongues. You're not edifying anybody. Nobody understands you. Shut up in church. Anywhere? No. Except in churches who think they're doing the will of God. Bible says no one understands him. Look here. No one understands him. No one understands him. Therefore, if I spoke 10,000 words to you in tongues, it would be unprofitable to you because nobody understands me. For that reason, Paul says, I would rather speak 3 words or 4 words or 5 words in English that you might be blessed than 10,000 words in tongues. Because it's not for you. Well, Paul said you shouldn't speak in tongues in church. How stupid can you be and still breathe? He said it's not for the people. It's not for the people. So he's teaching the people. He said, if I'm talking in tongues, nobody out there is hearing a thing. Understanding nothing, nothing, understanding nothing. And he wants to teach them. So he said, I'd rather talk in a language you can understand me. Are you still with me? Okay. Number four, it's the second reason why you have to really, with first two, it follows believers. Now I'm giving you four reasons why the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues is so essential that you can't, it cannot be done unless you are filled with the Holy Ghost. You're confident when you speak in tongues that you're actually praying the perfect will of God. Yes. For others. For others. Not praying for yourself, praying for others. Listen to Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. I don't know what's going on in your life. You won't tell me. You're keeping it quiet. You won't even tell your husband. You're keeping it quiet. You won't tell your wife. You're keeping it quiet. So what does God want to do? He wants somebody to pray for you so you can get out of the situation you're in without telling them what the problem is. He doesn't want to tell you the problem. He wants a solution. And God doesn't go around telling people about other people's problems. He doesn't kiss and tell. He's not that kind of way. He doesn't split about you. He doesn't talk about you behind your back. So he goes to somebody who he will trust and say, he touched him and he says, look, this is urgent thing. It's coming up and start to pray in the Spirit. For who? Don't just trust me. Just pray. Why? Just pray. But it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Just pray. Lord, I'm tired. Okay, I'll go to somebody else. Are you listening to me? And then you get the urge to pray and you begin to pray. Or during your prayer time in the morning and you pray in the Spirit. And you're not praying for you. You're praying for somebody else. It's the most unselfish thing you can do. You give your life and your time and your energy to somebody you don't even know. That's the Spirit of Christ. That's what God does. And that's what I do for you every day. I pray, God, thank you for this congregation that you've given me care of. I don't know what's going on in their life. You do. And over the next while, I'm going to pray in the Spirit. We're going to pray for somebody that needs this prayer, and I'm going to pray. And I begin to pray. He doesn't tell me what's going on. He doesn't necessarily give me a picture of somebody's face or anything else. I just pray. And I pray, 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 and you pay my salary, and I pray, and I pray. Are you there? You understand now? Okay, so I pray for you. What about you praying for somebody else? What about you doing the same thing? Getting up for 5 minutes and say, oh God, is there someone in the congregation, someone in the family promise that needs prayer? I'm going to pray for them, Lord. I'm going to pray for them right now. Here I am, use me. And you begin to pray. How loving and how unselfish could that be? Amen? Amen? Well, we don't need tongues. It's not for today. You unselfish, you selfish thing, you. Right? It's not for you. It's for somebody else. Okay, now watch this, verse 27. He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. When you pray in tongues, you make intercession for the saints in the perfect will of God. That cannot be done unless you speak in tongues. Cannot be done. Cannot be done unless you have a heavenly prayer language. Why wouldn't you want one? Why wouldn't you want to exercise the gift? Are you listening? Okay. Number five, it's the ultimate form of worship. Remember, Jesus said, when he asked the Father for this gift, the gift is for the Father, not for you. Watch this now. John 4:23. The hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers, say true worshipers, will worship the Father in spirit. True worshipers worship the Father in spirit. People who worship the Father not in spirit and in truth are not true worshipers. They have a form of worship, but it's not true worship. Well, Pastor Henry, I don't speak in tongues. Are you telling me I haven't worshipped the Father? I'm telling you, you haven't worshipped the Father in spirit and truth. You have done your best in your own mind, by your own knowledge, to do it. But you're seriously lacking in what God actually wants you to do and is enabling you to do. You're far off what He wants from you and what you can enter into. Okay? So it's something that you need to do. You will worship. Those who worship Him must. Everybody say must. One more time. Turn and tell somebody next to you, must. Now, how many of you think that is a suggestion? This is a choice. If you tell your little kid, you must be quiet, is that a suggestion? No. And when the little kid has said, you know, I want to go in pee-pee and poo. I want to go pee-pee poo. And you take them to the toilet, and you're teaching them, and you take their little trousers down, you put them on, and you say, go. And they say, no. And you say, go. And they say, no. And then you say, you must. Go. Is it a suggestion?
No.
Because if I take you off here, and I put your pants back on, and you pee-pee and you poo, you will know all about it. I raised my kids, okay? They turned out fine. Right? Yeah. And they got themselves a little puppy, and they're practicing on the puppy before they get a baby. It's a good thing. You sure? Get your kids a puppy. Let them get the puppy. Work with a puppy before they get a baby. A puppy actually learns quicker than a baby. Actually does. It learns a lot quicker. Have you ever known a 4-month-old baby to run outside and poo in the grass? Never. 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 Have you ever seen a 4-month-old baby run and find a little piece of paper and pee on the paper? Ever seen that? Nah. Uh-uh. This little teddy, he's the cutest little thing. He ran full blast to get outside and found there was a glass door in front of him. He turned around and let the glass door. Boom! Nailed the door. I mean, this is amazing. This is amazing for a 4-month-old child to know, got to get outside. Got to help him, right? I'm off my subject. Back to the point. The point is, you must worship in spirit and in truth. You must. In other words, it's something the Father really, 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 really wants. In fact, He said, this is what the Father's wanting. He said, for the Father seeks such. The Father seeks such. You want the Father come seeking you. Listen carefully. We pray prayers like, oh God, come to me. Oh God, show up. Oh God, show up. And all he says, if you will worship me in spirit, I will seek you. You want God to come looking for you? Just worship Him in spirit. And instantly He shows up. Because you're one in a million. You're one in 10 million. Because you're doing exactly what He asked you to do. What a privilege to have the Father show up. Wow. Just that quick. All right, last 2 points. Number six, it provides spiritual edification for the one praying. And this is the only selfish thing there is to it. It says, Jude 20 says, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Building yourself up on your most holy faith. Praying in the Spirit does not create faith. If you need to tackle a task, praying in the Spirit will not increase your faith so that you can tackle the task that's ahead of you. Praying in the Spirit will create wisdom inside of you. And edification builds you up, but will not increase your faith. The Bible says you pray on your faith. In other words, what I'm saying to you is this. If you're not praying in the Spirit, it's because you lack faith. I'm sorry, I said that out loud. But I'm also tired of people telling me, you think I don't have any faith? Yes. That's the reason. In the kingdom of God, everything works by faith. No faith, no result. Period. You can't get anything from God without faith. Are you listening to me? Nothing. The Bible says if you don't trust Him, don't believe Him, you get nothing. Zippo. Empty. Done. Nada. Nothing. You pray in the Spirit upon your faith. Every time you open your mouth and you let those words come out, it is an act of your faith. Why? Because you don't understand what you're saying. So you're a spirit man praying. You don't understand a thing that you're saying. You're talking to God by faith. It is the one thing that will allow you to exercise faith every single day. Every single day, you'll know, I'm in faith, I'm in faith, I'm in faith. Why? Because you pray out in the Spirit, pray out in the Spirit, pray out in the Spirit. It is an act of your faith. If you won't pray out, it is also an act of your faith. God gave it up to you. He said, now it's up to you. You use your faith. I'm giving you the gift. Use the gift. Okay? All right. Example. Shout out loud, which is your most favorite desired car if you had zillions of dollars and you could buy a car for you. Selfish. The worst selfishness that you could ever imagine. Doesn't matter how much it cost. Only five of you. Okay. Maserati. Okay. I think I might get a Ferrari. Bentley is also good. Okay. Whatever ticks your clock. Whatever. Now here's the deal. Imagine for a moment you get given this car free and clear. Just for a minute. Okay. I thought I'd see more smiles. Okay. But anyway, it's just not happy. No matter what anybody does for you, you're never going to be happy. Never. Give me my dream car. I'm never going to be happy. Look at you. Never going to be happy. Okay, you have it, and it's in the garage. That's why you're not happy. It's in the garage. You're not using it. Okay? It's in the garage. And then you go in there and you look at it. You pat your Ferrari. You pat your Bentley. You pat whatever it is that's in there. A nice car. Thank you, God, for my gift. Woo, 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 woo. And then you go out and you go to church. You go back that night. Ooh, look at my car. Look at my gift. Look at this. God gave me such a gift. Keep the doors closed. And you go off to work. And the gift is sitting there that God gave you to use whenever you want to use it, whenever you want to use it, and all you do is you keep it locked up. Receiving the Holy Spirit is the greatest gift God could give you, greater than any car you could ever imagine, greater than any lottery you could ever win, greater than anything you could ever give. He Himself comes to live in you by His Spirit. After being born again, now you have a choice. I'm going to keep God shut up in me and just walk around. I'm a Christian. When I get asked, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. And when you come to church and praise and worship happens, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm alive. Resurrected, alive. Never going to get you to raise your hands. Never going to get your Ferrari out of the garage. Never going to let you to let go. Never give God His true spirit and worship. No. I'm never going to lift my hands. Why? Because it's just not like me to do that. Ooh. It's $100 in the building fund. Okay. Sorry, I can't take the call. I'm busy. Okay, so praying in the Holy Spirit. Here. Let's have the band up. Here's my last point. So, this point is it gives you a new song. It's called Singing in the Spirit. So, number one, it's a sign that follows believers. Number two, it's the first evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit. And now, you have four things that you do once you receive the Holy Spirit that are directed at God. And this is directed at God. Number one, supernatural prayer language. Praying the perfect will of God. Communicating directly to God. It's the ultimate form of worship. And now it allows you to sing in the Spirit, which is the ultimate form of worship. Four out of the seven have got to do with you communicating with God. Why wouldn't you want to communicate with God? Why wouldn't you want to express your love for Him? You listening? Okay, and this is the scripture in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. If I pray in a tongue, what is praying? Spirit. My spirit, not my head, not my understanding. It says, for my understanding is unfruitful. Well, then what is the result then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with my understanding. I will sing with the Spirit and I will also sing with the understanding. Let's everybody stand their feet. Everybody stand their feet. Let's have the lights down. I want to repeat this verse to you while you're standing. Notice there are four I wills in this verse. It said, I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with my understanding. I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding. Notice it didn't say God will force you. It didn't say the Holy Spirit will force you. It didn't say the pastor will force you. It didn't say an angel's going to force you. It says you will. In other words, it is an act of your will together with your faith that you exercise the gift. If you choose not to do it, do not blame God. Do not blame the music and say they didn't play long enough. Don't blame the music that didn't play loud enough. There's only one person that needs to be held accountable and responsible for the fact that you did not do it. And that is you, because it is up to your will. He said so in the scriptures. Once God gave you that Lamborghini, the Ferrari, the car of your dreams, it is now up to you to use it. You can go out and come back, do whatever you want. It is yours to use. He gave you the Holy Spirit, and coupled together with the Holy Spirit is this gift to pray in tongues. The gift came so that you can sing in that tongue. You can worship Him in that tongue. One of the four major reasons you received the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's now up to you. Since it is the day of Pentecost, we're celebrating. I wonder if you have faith and courage enough to lift your hands and close your eyes. Lift your hands and close your eyes. And take a deep breath. And for 30 seconds, just pray in your unknown language. You're not talking to the Father. Nobody understands you. You're not talking to man. You're talking to God by faith. This is you doing it by faith.